Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the first full day of DEF CON. Yeah. This is the fifth annual fail panel. Momentarily, there will be waffles. If you have a waffle, we do request that you please flip off whoever that was right over there. Just under general principle. We are requesting donations. The funds will be split between the EFF and cancer research, and we'll go more into the cancer aspect later, sadly. That's a whole other set of fail that's not actually funny, sadly. I'm David Mortman. We have my illustrious panelists and our assistants on stage to make a hopeful afternoon of fun and merriment. And the way this pretty much goes is we make fun of industry, we make fun of each other, we make fun of you. It's all for a good time. Are you about to say something, Rich?
No.
My personal fail right there. Okay. So I'm going to start off with the least funny part, and then we'll get to the really funny stuff. And that is that. So at Fail Panel 2, I made a big deal about the fact that there's way too much sexism in this industry, and sadly, that's not funny. And this year, there's been a tremendous, tremendous amount of stupid sexism going on in this industry. I'm not going to name names for the most part, because really. But I'm going to make two exceptions because they're so recent. One is the lovely folks at RSA decided that really it was necessary to bring scantily clad booth babes to Black Hat. And frankly, I just have to take a quick survey. Who decides how to purchase their software? Do they base it on features, functionality, or the size of breasts?
Breasts!
Fuck you.
Man breast.
A good D cup will get me to buy anything.
We will get to that. So the other special one, which I just have to thank Imperva for throwing out this out at the last minute, was they decided they were going to post a top 10 list of pickup lines for Black Hat. And it's embarrassing on many levels, including the fact that they're not even remotely funny. Or good, or accurate. It was best summed up by a friend who called this a top 10 ways of to never get laid at Black Hat.
I actually thought that Imperva had gotten owned, and this was like a baggy pants thing. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, they did get owned. Sadly, it was by their own employee, thus proving that you do need to worry about the insider. So.
If only they had DLP.
Ooh.
What's the D in DLP for?
So,
wait, first of all, are there children present? Are there any children?
Are there people who act like children?
Are there people
present?
Under the age of 18?
Mentally or physically? So I think you have one mentally up there.
Yeah, okay.
Dave's looking for a date.
No, I'm just trying to make sure I don't have to cuddle with Rich later in the Las Vegas jail.
You never cuddle.
He never calls.
I just wanted to be held.
So we decided, Jack Daniel had the brilliant idea, and we decided to support him in this, that, you know, really be out here as industry saying, fuck you to women, we need to launch a new company. Misogyny Networks.
Hold on a second. Because
if you're going to do it, you should be honest.
Our ports are always...
Because our ports are always in promiscuous mode. Hey.
I don't know. They didn't give me one.
We gave you the Kong.
He was last man standing.
He's the interface that gets plumbed.
We didn't have any children sizes.
How about gnome sizes?
Yeah, baby. I got black cards for all of you.
Actually, there was a bigger motive for that. It kept us
We had no pants.
All I know is that Larry's wearing long sleeves, so.
Where does the shirt end and where does the sleeve start?
We wonder about that often with you, Larry. So, who's next, by the way? Who is volunteering to follow up this illustrious move?
Larry.
Larry.
Larry's next. That cable guy. Obviously, you've never seen him naked.
No.
Okay.
Either way.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting about that.
There's a.
Yeah.
Forget about that.
All right, please bear with me for 1 second here. I need power badly.
There may be some individuals.
Is this called foreshadowing?
Yes.
You're all right.
That was Umbop by Hanson.
What are you, a fucking mime?
You wouldn't remember that, Gillis, because that was before you were born.
Oh.
Okay, now we're good. We're good. There we go.
Ooh, beer.
Necessity for the presentation. All right. So welcome to Fail Panel 5. Put that there. Don't spill it on my laptop. Okay. And, ooh, the sound of waffles. All right. So V for Vendetta. All right. My name is Larry Pesci. I'm a senior security consultant with NWN Corporation. Spent a long time in healthcare. Did a lot of penetration testing, all that type of stuff nowadays. Authored a couple books with Syngras and the co-host of Polycom Security Weekly. You don't care about that crap because, well, we're not here to talk about me. I was wearing earlier my Cancer Sucks t-shirt. Hey, cancer sucks. Thank you very much. Not funny, but don't worry, we're going to not harsh your buzz. This year we lost a very close family friend to pancreatic cancer. And as you well know, we've lost a couple of other folks this year, most notably recently Sally Ride and Steve Jobs, you know, whether you love them, hate them, whichever. But pancreatic cancer is a really big deal, and it's very underfunded for from government for research. So go over to pancan.org and offer your support if that's what you're into. And no more downers. Let's go have some fun. All right, so I've spent the last 2 years, quote, in the trenches, doing penetration testing, vulnerability assessments, physical assessments, all sorts of good stuff, definitely related to my interests. So I thought about, what am I going to do for the fail panel? I haven't done any research. Where did I find the fail? Okay, so I remember this quote from Marcus Ranum, and you notice the little brackets around the quote. And basically the quote is summarized as an industry, security industry, we have everything we need to secure our systems, but we're just too damn lazy to do it. Okay, from Marcus Ranum. And, well, the first fail is I can't find the goddamn quote anywhere.
Have you heard of Google?
Yes, and I don't even really know what the quote is, so that's why it's summarized in brackets. But Marcus Ranum has this thought that, yeah, we have everything we need in the industry to secure our systems. We're just too damn lazy to do it. And I thought, well, all right, yeah. So I go do pen testing and all this type of stuff and, well, spend 2 years. And in 2 years, there's one customer that I haven't been able to break into. Okay, that's interesting. All right, so I'm going to challenge Marcus to a duel. Okay. Do we really have all we need, or are we just really too lazy to do it? I'd argue maybe a little bit otherwise. And I'm going to show you some examples of some of the things that I've seen over the last couple of years that really make me question why. Okay. So fail number two, challenging Marcus Ranum. Okay. Yeah, maybe not such a good idea. Okay. Happy Funball does not meet expectations. Hopefully this panel will. So first we need to get in, right? Okay. Fail. All right, so before we can start doing the test, we need to get into the facility. Don't drop the soap. Okay, so step one. Let's say this is the door to your office. Your corporate office that you've used the shared entrance for the multi-tenant facility with no guard at the elevator, and you come off the elevator, and here's the front door to the office. For a bank, corporate headquarters.
That's a bank. That's a bank corporate headquarters. Yeah, lots of glass on the front door. Lots of nice padlocks from Home Depot, Schlage, thank you very much. Lots of glass. There were no obvious cameras or alarms that I could see, so that one was really easy for us. By the way, these are all stuff from actual customers that I've been on in the last 2 years. Yeah, they don't know I'm telling you this stuff, but now if you can figure out who it is, it'll be a different story.
Only it weren't being recorded.
It's okay. I don't mention any names. Nice. So it's almost as bad as our security guard asleep here on the couch, and this one actually was not from the same bank, but it is also, ironically, from a bank. Okay. All right. So we all know about tailgating, right? You wait for someone by the door, they open it up, and then you follow them in, right? Great. So we sit in the parking lot and doing a physical assessment, sit in the parking lot, observe folks' badges so they know what they look like, spend about an hour, looking at the door, observe patterns, you name it. And then we run into craft time because I don't have a badge. So I need to make one. So I sit in my truck with my Leatherman and a CCDC piece of paper that I flip over and had stolen my daughter's box of 64 Crayola crayons earlier and create a badge that looks really bad out of crayons and paper. Enter craft time. Yes, so fail number four. This works really great for aerospace contractors, and I spent an hour in the facility with this badge after tailgating through the door. And the only reason I got caught after an hour is I had entered a restricted manufacturing area and I didn't have safety glasses on. So it turns out it even gets a little bit better because the first time I tried to tailgate someone in, I got denied. And I turned around and went back to my truck and waited another 20 minutes for someone else to come in. The first time I got denied, I was almost 3 hours from home. So it was a road trip for me for the day. And the first person I tried to tailgate recognized me. Turns out, just down the street from our house, less than a 2-minute drive, there's this little Greasy Spoon family-owned restaurant where we go to breakfast every Sunday. And, well, it's like four tables, and, well, I have a unique appearance, and our daughter practically runs the place. She goes behind the counter and takes orders, and she's four, so everybody recognizes her. And I show up, and who do I freaking try to tailgate into this office? Some woman that also goes to the little Greasy Spoon 3 hours away every Sunday for breakfast. What luck.
You know, I know that story's bullshit. They recognize you because you were wearing assless chaps, right?
Well, yeah, of course. All right. So also with this same aerospace contractor manufacturing, we had 130% success rate on a social engineering attack that we did. Yes, 130%.
I don't know if you can do math or not.
I can. Right. So, yeah, you send them an email, okay? Send them an email with a link to a website. Say, hey, yeah, we have an audit that we've just performed. We need to increase our password complexity requirements, standard text email. Here's a link. Go to this website, put in your username and password, and we'll tell you whether you're going to need to change your password to meet the new password complexity requirements.
Look, next.
130% success rate, you say? Yes. They tried it more than once.
So let's coin a new term now and call it enthusiastically fished.
Yes. As Jaded would say, stop clicking shit.
Premature fistulation.
What's that?
Premature fistulation? No.
No. No, there was nothing premature about it. So in any case, the website that they go to is really bad. We steal their logo off of their website. And the HTML formatting is all like web 0.5. So about the only thing that's missing is the blink tag. It's really bad. And no matter...
The blink tag is coming back in HTML5.
I know. Good.
I'm excited.
So no matter what they put into the form, it... says, you're great, no problem, thanks. And then we go use it for all sorts of other stuff. The site looks really bad, and I want to show you what it looked like, but I forgot to get it, and it requires some setup.
Fail.
So fail. So instead, I'll offer you a consolation prize. So first up is this fine gentleman, Chris John Riley, in Columbia, dancing with a woman. He's apparently a wingman.
He looks just like that guy right there.
Yeah, right there. So Chris John Riley is playing wingman to distract this very very nice woman away from James Arlen, who has apparently decided to dance with what appears to be a very, well, young woman.
All right, so.
I mean, James, it's Columbia. I mean.
In defense.
I think you have bigger boobs than her. I do too.
You notice that I still have the shirt on and somebody covered up out of modesty. So here's the thing. They brought in these championship dancers to show us how to do this stuff. And they danced for about an hour on stage. And then they started teaching us. You see what happens when you get a bunch of information security people and try to teach them how to dance?
Fail.
It did not turn out well. I would like to point out, though, as one of the elders in that group and the not grabby type of human being, we ended up having to dance a whole hell of a lot because some of the other speakers that went to Columbia were all hands.
Chris. Like this guy?
Perhaps.
All right. So moving right along. Great, so we're in. We've got access to the facility, right? So what happens from there? So normally when we start looking at assessments, we worry about shared use networking closets. Okay? And well, this is maybe not the shared use that we always see. Usually they're sharing network closets with the phone guys or some storage or power and all that type of stuff. And well, that's one of the things that we call out on some audits because we don't like to see that. However, on this one, we saw something very interesting. This is a shared use network closet that was shared with the pharmacy. And you'll notice on the right-hand side, there's a set of metal shelves, and there's some blue bins on the metal shelves. Yes, atropine.
Speaking of atropine, the default toppings on the waffles are going to be chocolate syrup, whipped cream, sprinkles, peanut butter, Reese's bits.
And atropine.
And or syrup, and or strawberry, and we don't have any forks.
Are you using the...
I'm not quite sure why we would need them.
Huh. You came to the right place for that. All right, so moving right along. Yes, absolutely, drugs in the network closet. Awesome. Normally we worry about other stuff being in there and folks accessing that. No, we were concerned about the network folks accessing the drugs. You also note in the back, there's a dumbwaiter. There's more than one way in this room, one of them without a lock. You have to be really small, however. Needless to say, I couldn't fit.
Do you think we could get rich in there?
I think we'd probably not. Have you ever seen an atropine overdose?
Well, yeah.
Well, all right, you have. Yeah.
Not yet. The day's young.
Don't try the waffles. No, I mean, it's okay. All right, so I've always made some jokes about, well, we've got some other ways in, right? Well, you go and put wireless in your environment, and, well, wireless is like running Ethernet to the parking lot. Well, what happens when you really run Ethernet to the freaking parking lot?
You win, of course.
Look,
yes. Here's the problem. We as security experts keep telling people over and over again, don't use wireless, it's insecure. And when somebody comes up with a solution that's not wireless, you pick on them.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
So, yes, there's definitely a need for running wire to your parking lot, Ethernet to your parking lot. For example, in this particular example and the other one that I saw, you have radiology and CT trailers. This equipment's really expensive for hospitals to buy. So they rent or lease it. It comes in like a motorhome. And they park this motor home at a loading dock. And, of course, these images that you're taking with this stuff are really large. Each study is somewhere between 1 and 7 gigs, and doing that over wireless is nightmare. So they either use a 1 or 10 gig wired connection to the trailer and power and all that stuff. So you've got to have wired Ethernet to your parking lot. But why do you need to patch them down when they're not in use? Okay. Problem. The first time we did this and found one of these boxes, it wasn't locked. The problem is that box was directly across the street from the police substation. So I'm sitting there trying to break into someone's network surrounded by cop cars. I was, needless to say,
just
a little
like
nervous.
Just like your prom night.
Just like my prom night, yes. But Dave, I was trying to break into your place.
I was trying to break into your box.
Ooh. So speaking of breaking into boxes, note that this Ethernet jack is placed inside of this uber-secure, nice, high tensile-strength plastic box. Well, we don't want to break our customer's stuff. You know, we probably could have dealt with this with a nice swift kick. Instead, we spent 60 minutes or more trying to pick the damn lock right by the employee entrance at lunchtime without badges, looking very similar to this. We got a couple of interruptions, mostly on the line of we used Jason Street's ultimate social engineering when you're someplace when you're not supposed to. Hey, how you doing? Doing good, thanks. And they keep walking. Not a single question.
Did anyone offer to help?
No one offered to help. They felt that we were struggling enough, apparently. We never did get the lock open. It was a little rusty on the inside. It had been exposed to the elements for quite some time.
Look, do I really even need to say anything on that one?
Fail. But it gets worse, or better, because we didn't even need to open the lock, because you just take the plastic pin out of the hinge.
So, wait a minute. You spent 60 minutes picking a lock?
Fail. Yeah, we spent 60 minutes trying to pick the lock, and then after about an hour, realized you just pulled the pin out, and it came right out. Leatherman, pull it right up, done. And then you use the lock as the hinge. Yes, and the jacks were all punched down, and you notice that there's some black bars on there. Yes, all the telephone numbers for the phone jacks were all labeled nicely, and it even had the IDF and port number labeled on the outside of the box, so we knew right where it was going. Thank you very much. All right. So, yeah, how about real wireless instead of the fake Ethernet kind? We did some work for a facility, showed up at the facility, sat in their lobby at midnight, and cracked their WEP network in 3 minutes. Yes, WEP. And so when confronted with it the next morning when I showed, was at the client site to do rest of the on-site work, said, hey, by the way, you might want to fix this. Oh, how do we do that? Well, let's go log into your single Cisco access point and I'll help you. Oh, but we only use this for executives when they have a meeting in the meeting room next door. Uptime. 8 months, 28 days, and 6 hours. That's a really long meeting. So turns out we change it over to WPA2 pre-shared key was the best that they could do with the equipment that they had and do it right then. And they have one access point in this facility. It was WEP, and we found it, and we broke into it. And now we're going to help them fix it the best way they can. And not 5 minutes goes by, and one of the executives comes over with their iPad and said, I can't get on the internet anymore with my iPad. They don't support iPads. Yep, so, okay. Fail number 8, I guess, 7A. All right, so this one was lots of fun. Okay, fucking win on this one. All right, so SSH. Doing some assessment for a customer, find that they have SSH available to the internet. We're able to determine that when you SSH to this box, you're actually SSHing through their firewall right to their core switch. Cool, right? Fucking win. Okay, so the problem is it's SSH password only, no certificates, all that good stuff. They actually used a halfway decent password. Okay, we tried some password brute forcing against it. It didn't work. So we finished looking at the port scan results and found that HTTP was open on the box, unauthenticated. And you navigate to the IP/level 15. And sure enough, you have level 15 web interface access to the box. Yes. Now you go and create a user, and now you've got SSH access. So we use that to set up a GRE tunnel from their internal core switch to a switch that we had in our office, and we turned the external pen test into an internal pen test in my jammies. I didn't even need to get out of my pajamas.
Okay. You don't wear pajamas.
I know. So thank you, Internet. Welcome Jack Daniel to public transportation. He'll be your guide. Okay. It's not really Jack, but yeah, I like to think it is. It's at least how that's how I think of him in my dreams, anyways. All right, so the biggest fail of all. Anonymous. Boy, that got really quiet all of a sudden. Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. Anonymous FTP. Sorry, my bad. Yeah. So we were doing some work with a Fortune 1000 company, discovered that they had an FTP server accessible from the internet. Sure enough, anonymous FTP. And they've got directory listing turned on and all that good stuff. So we start poking through, and we get about three levels deep. And we find a backup directory, and then there's a bunch of stuff in the backup directory. And sure enough, they make a bunch of stuff. And in that, one of the backup directories for engineering included all of their intellectual property, all of their product formulary, and all of the procedures on how to put the stuff together. Winning.
Yeah. So now, wait, you're against backups now.
No. I like backups.
It's for later.
It's for...
Oh, good Lord.
It's for later.
So says your mother. Okay. All right, so fail number 9. All right. So, MS-08067. When I see this, I don't even have to pop the box and I start my ponage dance, right? Okay. So, how many of you guys have a ponage dance? So when you pop a box, you do a ponage dance? All right, I have a request. Stand up and let's see it. Come on. I think there might be beer or waffles in it for you. Nice. All right. So you've got your ponage dance down, right? If you don't have one, you need to start practicing and find one. Okay? Because it's the only way some of us schlubs get exercise. Okay. Okay. Yeah, so we go on an internal assessment, and these folks have got about 475 internal hosts. And this is the result. Number 2 critical from Nessus is 122 hosts vulnerable to 08067. So 120 ponage dances later, and if we start looking a little bit more at this, there's a whole bunch of other stuff. 470 out of 475 or so internal clients with MS-12020, the RDP vulnerability for blue screen of death. Yeah, they had a really bad day in the office. Okay, so fail number 11. MS-03039 was in that list. Yes, but I was already tired from already having to do it 120 times. Okay. Of course. But I'm tired after all that dancing. All right, so fail number 11. Yeah, do we really have all the patches we need? Yeah, maybe not so much. All right, so after seeing all of this crap, and this is just some of the few examples that we've seen over the last couple of years, I'm thoroughly convinced that this is what happens in most IT shops, okay? And this is sort of an audio video one, so bear with me a second here. Do you think I've watched that a couple of times? By the way, this goes on for 10 minutes. Can you survive? Yeah, go to YouTube and search Afro Circus, and there's a 10-minute video of this. There's a loop for 12 hours. By the way, 4.5-year-olds are invincible to this.
Main research is for Afro Circus, but for other reasons.
Yes. Da 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 Afro Circus. Da 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 Afro Circus. Afro Circus. Polka dot. Afro. I know.
Fail.
In any case, I do hope I've finally been able to plant an earwig, so that I really hope you enjoy singing that for the rest of DEF CON 20. Da 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 circus, da 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 Afro circus, polka dot, Afro. My daughter will be so happy. Okay.
You still need to see your dance.
I did it. Want to see my ponage dance?
Yeah.
That's it.
128 more to go.
Ugh.
because it's very, from the audience.
Very similar to the Trouble Shuffle. So yes, thank you very much. Hey, you in the bushes, if you have questions, comments, loads of fun. Enjoy some waffles and some beer. And I will turn it over to the rest of the panel to have some fun, and thank you very much.
That just keeps going through my mind. I can't even think now.
Oh, God. It's hypnotizing. The zebra doesn't have a penis.
Kill it with fire!
Where's the penis?
YouTube.
Where's the penis at?
Where the penis at?
You hear that a lot, don't you?
Good Lord, back fat.
Remember, EFF Ross gets the shots.
I mean, I've got nothing to complain about, but it's just unexpected. Does?
No, Max, so well. How do we get the screen to go?
So here's my first fail. I actually run Windows most of the time on my MacBook, so I don't actually know how to make Mac OS show up.
So, as we're trying to raise money, I want you to think about one thing. How much would you pay to not get a lap dance from the girls of Misogyny Networks?
I accidentally all the money.
Apparently bald jokes are not popular here.
It's interesting. I think there's only one qualified lap dancer on the stage at this point.
Mortman, are you wearing lipstick?
Absolutely.
Okay. I was wondering why you look so good.
He also has that silky smooth hair.
Yes.
You kind of just want to pet him.
Something goes.
If you squint, he looks like he has a makeup. Not like James over here with the C's.
You know, I hate to say it, but I actually feel kind of pretty right now.
Okay, so...
It rubs the waffles on the skin.
I'll do this.
Rob Graham, everybody. He got his slide deck up.
So, by the way, I keep seeing this hot chick out of the corner of my eye with long hair and a pink shirt, and then I keep looking over. And it's Jack. There's something wrong with peripheral vision. So my talk is about security terminology. We work in an industry where we think about security. And we use phrases like, well, I need to secure the system, or I need, like the random quote, is we have the stuff to secure our systems. But we really don't. There's no such thing as perfect security. Even if you do everything the best, Random also has this other quote, about the only perfectly secure computer is one where you cut the wires, and he shows these nice little scissors. And even then, it's probably not secure enough. You need to turn it off. You need to bury it. And even then, it's probably not secure enough, and so you need to, like, destroy it. So I think we're coming about this from the wrong way. And the way we should be talking about security is not use that word. We should use the word fail. So that's what my talk is about, is thinking about this from the other point of view, of fail.
Thank God you're on a panel about fail.
Yeah, thank God. Just so happened by luck, that's what we're talking about today. So we have terms like advanced persistent threat. So, 5 second rule. So we should be talking about advanced persistent fail. Like, we look at the RSA hack or the Google Aurora hacks, and how did they happen? Well, phishing attacks, SQL injection, or fail. So here's how we look at security. We think that, you know, this is a picture from soccer, and there's players out there who are standing in front hoping that their balls don't get hit, so they put their hands in front of the balls. And it's a good strategy and so forth and stuff, but this is how security really works. And the thing is both the attackers and the defenders are subjected to the same sort of chaos. Neither side really knows what's quite happening. When you do a pen test, you don't come in with a certain plan of saying, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. You sort of say, what's happening? Oh, I find Ethernet out to the parking lot. You know, it's a chaotic sort of a response to a chaotic situation. So instead of talking about things like worst practices, we need to think from the point of view of the fail industry. And that is avoid worst practices. Or we all know this word EPIN. It comes from gaming and so on. But from the fail perspective, we need to have the FPIN, the fail penis.
Wait, what?
Dave doesn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, Dave's got a good example of that.
Mine does nothing of the sort.
And the fail penis is we're not measuring how big your security EPIN is. We're not measuring how well you do encryption. And this is kind of a funny thing is that you talk to a corporation that's got a recent security breach, and because of SQL injection or phishing or bad passwords or something, and they always have, their spokesmen come on, and they always have the same description of, well, yeah, we might have had SQL injection, but we have military-grade encryption, as if somehow this makes up for their fail. And they could spend $1 billion on security, but if you have SQL injection, you have fail. And that's what happened, like, to the Sony breaches and the Anonymous breaches. These were kids out there having fun attacking large corporations that, in theory, spent a lot of security, who just happened to have a very small e-penis.
Wait, what are you saying?
Or f-penis. You know e-peen, right?
No, apparently I don't.
What?
Fail.
Is that electronic penis?
Electronic penis. So it comes from the gaming world, where you have gamers who are trying to show how impressive they are and how big they are. Or from the hacker world here at DEF CON, is you go to any conversation and there's someone saying, hey, I've got the best tool, I've got the best electronic skills.
Doesn't
sound
illiterate.
You know, I'm doing the Michael Jackson thing, you know? I did the moonwalk, but yeah, no, you don't want to see that. I can't believe you don't know what an e-penis is.
Show us.
Why would I know what an e-penis is?
No. You know, there's a certain, you know the law against you can't yell fire in a movie theater? I can't whip it out. There'd be like a drove of people stampeding each other.
Apparently
for the
you
exit.
Also can't yell shooter in a movie theater.
Oh. Too soon.
So the FPIN, the fail penis, is you measure it the inverse, and that's what this equation is supposed to show right here, is you measure the inverse of the E-penis. E-penis is large, your fail penis is very, very small.
Down there.
So when a large corporation gets hacked, the next time a military contractor gets hacked, or the next time...
It's a donation.
Okay.
Take it off.
Donations.
Okay.
Somebody out there wants to see Bob Graham topless.
So the next time a military contractor gets hacked, like a Lockheed Martin or whatever, we need to talk not about their security, but the size of their e-penis. Or the other F penis, sorry.
So many penises, you can't keep them straight.
So what you're saying, we really want to have a really small F peen.
No. You don't want your small F penis, your fail.
You want your...
The size of your...
You want to have...
It's the inverse size.
Remember, you paid $200 to sit in this room
I'm trying...
right now.
You know,
where do you begin measuring the F-peen from? Is it from the balls or the taint? My balls, I mean the spherical fell. You know.
From the anus, of course.
Or from the anus, right.
Hey, Dave, you get to chug the first glass of maple syrup, by the way.
Are you sure this is maple syrup? This isn't some cream of a La Hoff or something, right? There's not like when
it is dark and lovely, Dave.
All right. Well, I just don't want to chug it and have a picture of you jizzing in this cup on the screen now. It was sugar and salty at the same time.
Is there no protection for the people in the front row?
You care
about the computers, not them. Smooth.
I can't swallow. I need some help up here.
You've had a lot of practice. Come on.
Dave, I hate it when it runs off your lip like that.
I'm just trying to keep my F-peen big.
Chew it, come on.
All I gotta say is if Hop did jizz in that, he probably should see a doctor. I cannot tell what he's been eating by his flavor.
Dave, you're not diabetic by any chance, are you?
I think I am now.
You need some room to cut that.
No. It's the last thing I need. Isn't that the ass rum?
David.
So I figured out that I'm a bully, and one of the things I bully these days is the United Nations. Back in 2007, they had a big fail. Huge SQL vulnerabilities, SQL injection vulnerabilities on the website. And this is the homepage. You see in the lower right where hackers have defaced their web page. And so this was a spokesman saying, hey, we're definitely getting right on this. So I noticed a few days later that the SQL injection vulnerability hadn't been fixed. This was back in 2007, so I wrote a little blog post on it. It's a good example of SQL injection vulnerabilities. If you want to help people understand the whole Bobby table sort of thing from XKCD, this is a good example.
I'm going to have to stop you there for a second. It's literally like there's a giant ball of rubber in my stomach now.
Anything you hurl, you have to lick back up again.
You know, this looked funny in Super Troopers, but take it from me. Unhinging your jaw is never funny.
So in 2009, 2 years later, I happened to be on the UN website. And so, of course, as usual, when I'm typing in the URL, my finger slipped and I hit the quote key right before the return key. Purely by accident. I don't mean to do it. It's just a common typing problem I have. So I notice it has the same failure it had 2 years ago. So here are the screen diffs from... So they were getting right on it, but at sort of UN speed, I think.
At the speed of peace. But thank God it wasn't apartheid, because then it'd still be broken.
And the funny thing about this was...
I trust them to run the internet.
Oh.
So the funny thing about this was, it was 2 years to the day since my previous blog post. It just sort of just happened that way. I didn't actually plan that. But in 2010, I did plan about it. I said, okay, it's August. I need to go take a look at the UN again and see if they fixed the problem. And indeed, they had. That URL, it no longer worked. My injection no longer worked. But they had a little print.
Wait, does this mean your FPN was big or small? I can't keep it straight.
Well, I'm trying to laugh and say it's small. It's the inverse. That was the whole idea. The one over is your inverse of...
Math jokes at DEF CON, really?
Yeah, they don't work. So that's a fail. So in 2010, they had fixed that URL, that SQL injection. But they had a print icon, so I hit print on that URL and then added, the accidentally again, not on purpose, the quote character, and then got an SQL injection. So they'd fixed the one problem I'd blogged about, but they hadn't fixed really pretty much anything.
So how long have you enjoyed being a cyber terrorist?
Doesn't enjoy it at all.
Enjoy it at all. It's just work, work, work. So in 2011, I didn't get around to checking it out. But some hackers did for me. They ran, I don't know, Burp Suite or something against the site. And they came up with a whole list of SQL injection problems. So as it stands today, after 5 years, the UN have not fixed pretty much anything. They're still vulnerable to SQL injection. If you want to go have fun and deface a popular website or a well-known website, it's a great little target for you. Not that I'm recommending it, but sometimes our fingers do slip when typing in URLs.
By the way, a quick announcement. So we are taking donations for our two charities, for cancer and for the EFF here. There's a couple of cases of beer down there. There's no relation between the two. But I would just like to express that we are taking donations here for our two wonderful charities and that there's some beer over there. And, well, anyway, that's just kind
but
of
But under
all
no circumstances would we ever sell you any beer. I want to make that clear.
This brings up a
because
funny
Because selling
thing.
Beer in a casino is illegal. But we're taking donations here. There's a couple cases of beer down somewhere in the room.
Poorly protected.
Whatever. Yeah, so.
This brings up an interesting thing I found about Rich's family, actually. I was on genealogy.com for some reason looking up Rich Mogul. It turns out his grandfather was a bootlegger.
I don't know if you saw that on there, but I actually have Jewish mafia connections. For real.
You got to remember, though, peeps, Canada saved you from prohibition. You're welcome.
Flame Canada.
So the funny thing about the UN story is the persistence of this fail. After 5 years, they still fail. And that's why we need to use terms like APT or APF. Is because SQL injection, how long has that been the number one attack on the internet? How long has phishing been number two on the internet? These things are extraordinarily persistent. So last year, around March, there was another interesting fail. And this was the number two registrar on the internet, the number two certificate authority. And they had a fun little fail where they had bogus certificates were issued in their name. And this is the certificate. Of course, none of us can read it because we don't read Base 64, but that's the certificate.
Maybe you don't.
You know, if you were to get up here and you want to just read it off for us and translate.
It says...
Oh, wait. So here's the quote from the CEO of Komodo, which, by the way, in RSA conference earlier this year, he won the award for the Entrepreneur of the Year for 2011 when he got hacked. And this was his quote. He said, "This was extremely sophisticated and critically executed. It was very well orchestrated and very clinical attack. All the above leads us to one conclusion, and one obvious conclusion that only an idiot would disagree with, and that is this was a state-driven attack." And some security experts got on board and agreed with them that this was not a random hacker. So I exchanged emails with the hacker back and forth. I tracked down, there's a comment on our blog, and he used a handle, and then I tracked it down to a Twitter handle that had just been created, and found out all of his little contact information.
So what you're saying is one of the guys in your midget porn chat room hacked Komodo. is that what this boils down to?
David, remember, you're the one who turned me on to it, so... So the guy
and the,
said,
and the only person in there is Rich Mogul.
I got two kids to put through college, man. Don't fuck with me.
Or do. Yeah.
So the guy said he's just a student. He's a computer engineering. He has no relationship to the government or the various oppressive apparatuses in Iran, like the Basij. He's just like any other student, just, you know, hacking. So I asked him, well, how do you do it? Like, what advanced state-funded techniques did he use? And he said, well, it's just SQL injection, privilege escalation, getting a little shell prompt, getting a remote desktop with RDP, investigating things, running strings on binaries, and that's reverse engineering, and finding the passwords, and then getting the certificate generated. So how did we all know that this was from Iran? Well, the Komodo has logs, and it shows a bunch of Iranian IP addresses, and these actually turned out to be true. I talked to the hacker, and he said, yeah, he'd made a mistake in trying to anonymize his connection. Normally, most of his traffic did come through anonymous proxies, but he occasionally made a mistake, and some of his IP addresses came from Iran. So Moxie Marlin Spike last year at Black Hat gave a really cool talk where one of the many things he addressed was the Komodo hack, and how he tracked down his log files on his servers, the reference, the referrer field from this guy, and found out this guy had been browsing his website. And what the guy had browsed coming to Moxie Marlin Spike's website from was the Hack 5 website, which is for people introductory to hacking. They actually got a lot of good content, but came from a video on how to use SSL strip. And then he would look for the incoming search terms from Google that said SSL protocol man in the middle, how to. So this is what these experts are calling not a random hacker, must be state funded. Is a guy who comes from Hack 5 wanting to know how to use SSL strip.
Well, Rob, if you hacked Komodo, you didn't do it by yourself. You didn't wake up one day and just hack Komodo. There was probably a teacher or a president or something that helped you do it along the way.
Yeah, they built the roads for me.
Fucking Republicans.
So what?
Wait, you're fucking Republicans now? Now you will do anything to put those kids through college. And what a noble cause that is, too.
So not all experts were on board saying this must be a state-sponsored attack. So in this case, there's a quote from a guy who said, every breach is sophisticated just like everyone is special, which I thought was a really good quote. So what these people imagine is, I don't know, something like this. You've got soldiers in a room with computers executing cyber attacks and cyber warfare, aiming their cyber warfare at the enemy and launching them. And you have these intercontinental ballistic viruses that then hit them and blow them up.
Cyber love, not cyber war.
Not a problem.
I'm pretty sure that's what most of the internet's about.
When I met my wife on IRC back in the 90s, there was cyber, and it's nothing at all like what General Alexander wants us to do.
That's what you think.
It does seem kind of weird that the NSA has gone to a whole like cyber sets kind of thing.
So this is what the cyber warfare really happens is. Yeah, this is from Kevin Smith from Die Hard 4. It's some guy in his basement.
Hard.
Hmm?
Live Free or Die Hard.
Speaking of fail, Die Hard 4 fits that quite well.
Dude, that was the greatest movie ever. They rerouted all the gas in the Northeast to blow up one pumping station.
Are you saying that can't happen? Come on. We have experts that can confirm that.
It didn't
so
happen that way.
So what Dave and I do a lot is, I guess you'd call them APT pen tests. And it's not because of the advanced persistent threat. Well, we are pretty good. But it's about the fail. Their fail is so great that it makes the pen test so good. And the thing we like most is Active Directory. Active Directory, if you describe it to someone like your mother who doesn't speak computerese, or your father, or your grandfather, depending on how old you are and how old they are, is Active Directory putting all your eggs in one basket and then just dropping the basket arbitrarily. And so we have this site. It's a Fortune 500 company, and they have, I don't know, tens of thousands of employees, computers up the yin-yang, everything going through Active Directory with multiple domains, all trusting up to one root domain that's got one ring to unify them all. And so they, every year they hire a different company to do a pen test on the idea that, which is actually a pretty good idea, that they get some diversity from the point of view of pen tests. And the last two pen tests, the last 2 years, had well gone well in that the pen testers didn't really find much. And so we came in, and there's really no better way of describing this other than we raped them. And so,
did you yell surprise first?
And so when you think of SQL injection, you think normally of like going against their main server, their main website. Now, we just used Maltego and found a lot of subsidiary websites that were only casually related to their main website. And I think the one we found, I kind of haze in the details, is one for the retirees union. And so it was in their Active Directory domain, but yet it was sort of outside their normal IT control because no one in IT really cared about what happened with their retirees. So, of course, you have then the typical story, SQL injection, yada, yada, yada. We now own Active Directory and then own everything in the corporation. And owning Active Directory means you own everything. It means you own all the payroll systems. You can create new employees. You own all the banking systems. You own the systems that the lawyers use. And by the way, this is the thing that they got the most twigged out, is that if we touch any computer that the lawyers use, that means we now have changed evidence. That now means we can get subpoenaed in any lawsuits they have with other companies. So they sort of panicked and behaved poorly. And so we were doing this on site out through the internet and back in again, but they came by with security and escorted Dave from the building.
Well, that's not like a rare thing, though. I mean, that happens a lot.
Well, we often don't complete our pen test because we get too many results. But so, and then the next day, though, they escorted him back on because he was there on site in the hotel room because this was out of hometown. Escorted him back on site and made him read a book, being that they realized that having him with all that control off site, out of, you know, not watching him, was worse than having him on site.
I ate a lot of chili for lunch every day. It's pretty bad to be on site, too.
So then much of the pen test was then spent with Dave just sitting on site reading the book. Not even a Kindle, because that's a computer. It's reading a book.
No.
50 Shades of Grey.
So that was one way. So they said, okay, well, let's not do any more SQL injection. We know that's a problem. Let's just continue with the pen test with doing other techniques. So we went and we took a Flash game.
Did you say Flash?
Oh. And there's all sorts of great examples. So you grab any Flash game and change the art. And so you change your art, like here's this Punch the Monkey is a common, well-known game. You change the art so it's the logo of your competitor. Their competitor. And then you change the logo on a flash drive being your own logo. So one might be Lockheed Martin, if that's your enemy, and the other one is Boeing, for example. And then you leave this round in the parking lot, and then people pick them up, and they've got the corporate logo on them, so they think, hey, that's a good thing, it's trustworthy, I'll stick them in the USB drive.
So I get most of my dates.
They then see this game, they load it up, and they run it, and they have fun punching the logo of the opposing company. And then they email them around, and we did stats. We had, when they ran the program, of course, we Trojaned this little flash game, and we had stats figuring out where it came from. And it would be employees, it wasn't the USB drives being the most common source, it was employees emailing it to each other, including to the VPs and the CEO.
Who, by the way, approved this test, yet played the game anyway.
Yes. Yeah, this was a super secret test. Like, only like five people in the company knew that we were doing it.
And those five, well, four of those five people played the game. And then later on went, oh, we didn't realize it was this thing.
But it came from an internal email server. I knew I could trust it. So then the yada, 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 own actor directory, you know, cut our own checks.
Why do you yada, yada, yada over the best part?
So another thing they had laptops from Dell with full disk encryption on them, and they had FireWire on them. So, of course, there's a well-known FireWire DMA exploit. And they've done some other bad things. Every laptop, even the users did not have root of their own laptops. They didn't have administrator access. But they had the administrator password on every one of those devices that also worked on the Active Domain controllers. So we firewired DMA, blah, 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 and very, very short yada, yada, you have Active Directory again.
It wasn't too short, if you know what I mean. That's a Seinfeld reference for all you young people who don't get it.
So here's the fun exploit. So again, you have the configure exploit, which us pen testers really, really like because there's a lot of it open. Their past pen test had not worked. Even though they had the configure exploit vulnerable to a lot of machines, the last pen testers couldn't exploit it. That's because the well-known exploits didn't work. So what Dave did is he grabbed a virtual machine, installed the same image they had running on machines. He ran the exploit. Ran WimDGB, found out why the exploit didn't work. It was just a small offset problem, so he added 12 to the offset, and then the exploit worked. And then, of course, yada, 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 on the Active Directory domain. And I point this out because there's so much out there that the difference between Active APT and just your normal kids just requires someone willing to go through one extra little step. It requires, in this case, the skills of actually, I guess, some reverse engineering skills, which Dave is very famous for, as well as just knowing how exploits work. And so that was yada, yada, yada on the Active Directory.
Pay no attention to the man in the skirt.
So anyway, that's my talk on fail, and my point again is, if there's no such thing as security, there's really just only fail.
Dave, you're going last.
There's a reason Dave's going last. He has a ridiculous, cool, awesome thing to show, and I'm embarrassed to be on the same stage.
And he's even going to leave his pants on.
Can I borrow somebody's Mac adapter? I left mine in the room.
Oh, here you go. Go ahead and plug this in. All right, so while we're waiting for Rich to plug up, why don't we all ask Rich to get naked again this year? Because he's been naked for, 3 years in a row now?
It's not naked.
All right, who wants to see Rich drop his pants? Say, rock the house.
There we go. I've been working out, and for the safety of the audience, I will have to keep my pants on because we're worried about a stampede. This is spectacular.
Well, don't be a coward all day, boy. Take the shot. Drop the pants. Come on.
Enjoy.
Pants dropping. Marky Mark.
If we can get $100 in the next 30 seconds in this bin. Wait. No. You got to put it next to it so I can count. 20, 40, 60, 80. Ah, shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Rich Python.
For the record, I believe I'm the only individual on the face of the planet who has taken their pants off at both RSA and DEF CON.
We would like to thank Rich Mogul for removing his trousers in support of Hacking Cancer Research and the EFF.
Is that a banana in your hammock, or are you just happy to see us?
Admittedly, you can see more when I wear my cycling shorts on a ride, but whatever.
That's literally called the management consulting post.
I remember one time on a stage.
Things are so packed in there,
pants.
It couldn't get it in.
Yeah, it was at the fail panel, and it was Larry putting money in my pants.
You know what? I think that he knew he was going to take his pants off today, and he wore cool underwear.
I may have done that.
Wait a minute. You're not wearing cool underwear?
Just to be safe. They're breezy. I like
you wear the same underwear every day? What the shit? Too much information.
I swim with them on. That's good enough. All right. So this year I decided to go a little old tech. So before I got involved in information security, my name's Rich Mogul. My background was actually in physical security. So I used to run security at concerts, football games, those sorts of things. When I was like crazy young and absolutely shouldn't have been responsible for, or shouldn't have had that level of response. Now they're just bringing money up still. I must have been that good. Yeah. And, I spent a lot of time traveling. And one of the things that really pisses me off is for some reason I cannot bring this item on an airplane. Who's got one of these things? A little utility keys, you put it on your keychain, you bring it on. A friend of mine who's actually in the military was bitching about this because she, carries guns a lot and in war zones and everything else, and was in uniform. And she wasn't one of those cases where she had her M4 with her. She was just in uniform walking through and couldn't carry this little thing on a domestic flight. And so it got me thinking, well, if they're going after these things, what can we do about it? So fairly soon after these new rules were implemented, I found a way around that. Now, has anybody ever taken your bag and opened it up and it's all metal in the back? So all I did was tape it onto the metal, and that was fine. And I went through security and never had a problem with it until
it
fell off.
Right, Rich, in theory, right? I mean, you're not trying to circumvent TSA security or anything.
It's only illegal if you get caught.
So you're saying that you would sell
beer in the casino? Statute of limitations is what, 7 years? This was like 10 years ago. So
are you saying that you would sell beer in a casino as long as you don't get caught?
I'm not selling beer in a casino. There's beer in a casino and a thing. Yeah, I'm stripping in a casino for money. There's a difference. Anyway, apparently the tape wore off and it fell down into the bag and they pulled it off and that was the end of that, and I bought more and then they caught the next one on my keychain after a few trips, and that was the end of that. And then I was on a trip and... let me grab my props.
What about your props, Rich?
So here's my multi-tool. It's got, all sorts of blades and stuff on it. And I had accidentally left it in my bag. I went through security at 4 different airports before I realized this thing had just been sitting in my bag. And I thought about it, so I took it out, and then I went to the security guy at the airport, and I said, hey, I just want you to know, I've been through here about 4 or 5 times in the past month, and my multi-tool with knife blades on it was in my bag by accident. I totally didn't mean to do it, but, maybe you want to do a little training or something else. And he goes, well, what was it? And I go, multi-tool, one of those Gerber things. And he goes, oh, those are really hard. And, okay, that instilled me with a lot of confidence.
Well, he's accurate. It has a
it is
hardness
hard.
Of
did, quite
did
solid.
He say Did he say it's really hard, or did he say it's really hard?
He's like, yeah, it's like it shows up as a brick of metal, and I'm like, well, fuck. For Christ's sake. So I thought, well, what else could we do? And that's where I came up with the idea for DEF CON this year, because I didn't have a lot of time to do any coding or anything along those lines. And so I took a different point of view. And I thought, maybe if I get a little creative, I could sneak some other things into a bag.
Is this going to end with you taking a young girl to, like, Guatemala for sale?
I told you, it's not RSA. So I went ahead and I cut a little metal and did a little work, and here's the reason why. How many of you have bags, you know, kind of like this? This is a normal travel bag. It's in Eagle Creek. And when I look inside, well, it's kind of cool. So there's a picture of the bag. And one of the things in the bag is it's got this space for the supports. And conveniently, there's Velcro on there, so you can get those out if you want to turn it into a completely soft bag instead of a semi-rigid bag. It's one of the things that converts into a backpack.
So just so we all know, how long does it take you to go from semi-rigid to soft?
It depends on if you're in the room.
It's hard!
So here's the actual real strut. It's a little bit curved. It's made out of aluminum.
Insert Bill Clinton joke here.
And I thought, well, you know, hey, I did my little thing with the utility key, so what would happen if I taped this onto the back? Could I get this through security? And then I went ahead and I did those modifications I was talking about. Oops, and it's totally slipped in. Oh.
Quick, get it before it's more than the tip.
And I made some modifications to it. And put a bit of an edge on it, put a little edge on the tip. My wife was annoyed. She said, no, you got to make it look like a real sword. So I went ahead and I made a hilt.
Do you hear that a lot there, Rich?
Yeah. And so I went and made a nice hilt out of a non-radiation noticeable radio-opaque material.
Going to be?
And now I have a fucking sword in my bag.
I like how it's size appropriate for you, too.
I think I need to donate for Dave's comment because that was really funny. What? How much did I sharpen it?
Only the tip!
Yeah, not enough. Now, oops, next part of the story is, as it turns out, I went out on Twitter and I said, hey, does anybody have an X-ray machine I can borrow? I got a couple of responses.
That's a normal question on Twitter.
Yeah, reasonable. But it also turns out that a friend of mine is captain of a sheriff's department in a state not to be identified and has access to actually one of the high-quality machines because he's in charge of the jail as part of his duties. So I went ahead and I said, hey, what sorts of modifications can I do and get it through airport security x-rays? Because I got all my shit through back then, but that was like 10 years ago. So this was kind of interesting. It turns out they have really fucking good x-ray machines. So let's take a look at what they've got here. You can clearly see this metal bar with the knife taped to it. You can see the back of the knife. You can clearly see all the other metal bars, and you can even see the individual blades on the multi-tool. And he decided to use this as a training exercise. He went ahead and ran it at a bunch of different wavelengths. And I've never seen these kinds of images before, so this is really interesting to me. Because how often do you get to run a bunch of weapons through the screening at an airport and get to go home and
present?
Just once.
Or not.
Only once.
Just once.
Rich?
And you don't get to take pictures of the screen. You can see the other thing. Anybody notice the other little thing hiding in there? There's no screwdrivers. So, well, those are whatever knife blades. There's also one of these nylon knives you can see on there. So, supposedly I thought, hey, that'll get through, no problem at all. And it's clear as fucking day. As they dig in, they did a little zoom action. You can literally, by the way, this is steel, not aluminum, like the aluminum bar that comes with it. So you can even tell the difference. The aluminum bar barely shows up on the x-ray. And the steel bar itself, you can still see through it and see the knife blades underneath it. Yeah. So I thought I was going to get all this shit through. And he said, well, our one junior guy barely saw the hilt of the sword. But pretty much everything else, yeah. And as we go here, take a look at the multi-tool on the side. I don't have a laser pointer or anything, but you can see that it actually breaks down. You can see the the little plier blades and everything else within inside of that. You can see the nylon knife I put in there. You can kind of see the outline of the sword hilt in there. Pretty much everything shows up. And at the different wavelengths, you can actually go through and see a little more clearly or less clearly. So when you see him hit that button and it changes the color, I thought it was changing the colors. And what they're actually doing with the X-ray machines is they're changing the wavelengths so that they can actually go through and they can see a little bit more of what's inside there. And then he went ahead and
Rich?
Yeah?
Rich, can I interrupt you for a second?
Well, you're going to.
How did you get to Vegas?
I flew.
How are you planning on getting home?
Can I borrow your car?
Yes.
Yeah, checked baggage. Actually, I made one of my partners fly.
Hey, Rich, did you learn about other techniques that prisoners use to smuggle? You can use those instead.
Yeah. We're going to get there. I'm only partway through this presentation.
Is there a live demo?
There will be a live demo.
It's getting a little thin up there. Can I help you?
It's getting a little thin somewhere else if you want to help out.
Literally, Rich Muggle just solicited Jack for oral sex. In case anybody missed that, that's exactly what just happened.
I'm married, man. Come on. No, won't be married for long. Anyway, you can see all the images pop through, the different colors. When they do this weird black and white thing, you can see it all. So I thought that was pretty fascinating that they can actually pretty much detect anything you can put up. Even the nylon thing really stands out. Now, the fail part of this is if I did look on eBay, and you can buy one of these things for about $20,000. Usually it's a used one from a courthouse or a hospital. So if you want to go ahead and buy your own machine and see how you can stack things to go ahead and get it through airport security, you could do that. And I'm pretty sure if you spent more than 10 minutes working on your project, you'd probably be able to come up with those sorts of things. But on the other hand, I got to give them credit. That stuff's not too bad. Now, the part of this is I have a fucking sword, and we're at DEF CON, and we're on stage. So I thought it might make a nice demonstration to show how sharp this thing is. Because one thing is these struts, if I had sharpened the aluminum edge versus putting my own steel bars in, they wouldn't detect that. If you actually go ahead and look at the images, you know, it's not like you can tell what the edge is on this thing. You just know that there is metal in the bag. So.
Are we in the Gallagher show now? Does anybody know who Gallagher is?
I think the plastic is to keep the blood off the podium.
We have a sword, we have plastic, we have a grapefruit. Who's got cash? Anyone?
Come on!
This is your chance to demonstrate your ninja skills on stage at DEF CON.
Martin will sit next to it.
Fruit ninja! Fruit ninja! We're not talking about Dave.
Hey, Rich, why don't you just get naked again? That seemed to be a crowd pleaser.
No one? Come on up. It's all yours.
Wait, is he coming for the sword or for you being naked?
There's a pin. Yeah, someone's like, is that blade going to come flying out and spear me in the eye? There's a pin.
There's always a splash zone at the fail panel.
We got a $50 donation. That is going above and beyond. What's your name?
What?
Dexter? No, seriously, a fucking Dexter plastic and a sword?
Yes.
You can't plan that shit.
Only.
This may be the most perfect moment in DEF CON history. Dexter, I present to you the sword.
Gnome sword. This means you're the king of all the gnome people now.
Shit, it worked. Yeah, go for it. Side to side, side to side. There you go.
I don't want grapefruit slice.
Grapefruit! Thank you. Anybody want to buy this and take it home? because I don't. I don't know why.
Hey, Rich, do you
General think... Alexander, how you doing?
Hey, do you think you can hide that in your anal cavity?
We're getting to that. Presentation ain't over yet.
Don't jump the gun, man.
So, I was looking up things, and
I'm always premature.
I saw this article one day that the TSA took away Play-Doh. What does Play-Doh potentially look like on x-ray machines?
Semen.
Does not look like the staff of a submarine, Dave. So, you apparently, I did a little bit of research, we're not allowed to bring more than 3 ounces of fluid or gels on board an aircraft. A little looking around, browsing the web, which might mean they're going to be knocking on my door for terms like explosives, airplane quantity, revealed that, what the hell, it's common.
Aren't you glad that you don't have anyone looking at your browser history?
Yeah. Shit, did you hack me again? You know, I think it was around 4 ounces of plastic explosives put on the right part of an airplane would go ahead and do that. So, you know, we have the full body scanners that are supposed to prevent our ability to get those on there. So, this is Larry Pesci, and...
Not enough piercings.
Not enough piercings. Yeah, so we've got a picture of Larry there.
And
I thought we would put this to the test. So we did a couple of things. Let me get the saran wrap.
Oh, good Lord. Everybody, he's getting a saran wrap.
And we have Play-Doh. Who's got an ass? This is for science, people.
No.
Jaded, come on up.
No, he is an ass. Wait.
Okay, the guy wearing the knit mankini doesn't want to have saran wrap wrapped around his ass and the Play-Doh shoved in.
This is an external experiment.
Yeah.
If you want to see the internal, go to Hacker Pimps later tonight.
Hey, Rich?
Yeah?
Don't click shit.
Okay. So...
So wait, you just sit around all day at home thinking this shit up?
Yeah. What do you think an analyst does?
I get bored. Oh. Okay, off with the bra. We're going to put it under your boobs.
Yeah, baby.
We don't want to get hair in it? All right. How many ounces do we think this is? Okay.
So Rich, you say don't want hair in it as if you've had some good experience with this. With the hair in it.
Small E penis or big one? I can't get
this. I think we're going to have to go for the ass. The chest isn't working.
You have no idea how often you hear that in horror movies.
I'm good.
Or my nightmares.
All right. I think this one's not going to work.
Oh.
Nobody's willing to donate their ass to science.
Why don't you put it on your ass, Rich?
Gillis!
You're all creationists.
Gillis!
Are you making a phallic symbol out of...
That's not an ass. It's a small planet. I have no shame if you're still trying to... That's no more.
Oh, Lord. All right, what's up? Do I need to drop trowel?
Go behind the podium.
All right.
Do we have some sort of... Do we have some sort of counter for the number of people who dropped trow in the fail panel?
We're going to need more saran wrap.
Gillis, I love you and all, but I'm not going to sleep tonight, I don't think.
Oh. I'm realizing it's not going
to
stick.
Let's hope we didn't have the chili burger for lunch.
If you'd like to take it to the bathroom, though, hey, there you go.
Give it a shot.
All right.
Mr. Mogul just sent a young man off to the bathroom.
If you rolled that up the right way.
With Play-Doh.
He's on the run, and I'm not going. He's a little too excited for that. And I'm wondering if he's going to come back. All right, who's got a stopwatch?
Wait, do you really want the Play-Doh back, Rich?
apparently can roll it up the right way, stick it down the front, and look manly.
What fun would that be?
So, like Mythbusters, I thought, what else could I do to take it over the top? And I thought, what are the odds I could get a rocket launcher on an airplane? Maybe not that.
Are you, Rich, in fact, a member of the NRA?
No, I gave up. They got all nutty on me. I used to be. And I'm a liberal. So what I realized is that if you look at a model rocket, it is made of no metallic materials. So you have a cardboard tube. You have now plastic or balsa wood fins, which can be removed and just stacked together so they don't actually look like rocket fins. They just slide right off, depending on which models that you buy. And so it just looks like kind of a weird-shaped thing. What?
Incoming, incoming, incoming.
What do we got? Come on up. How much did you get in there? I mean, on there.
So, I got 2 baggies worth.
2 baggies? Shit!
Time to make the waffles!
Rob, do you have any more gloves?
Martin, give me 2 of those.
It's too late for gloves, Rich. You're infected.
I still have to pee later, and I might not have a chance to wash my hands first.
How's your e-peeing doing there, Rich? So let me just recap this panel so far. We've had a bunch of overweight people in strappy t-shirts. We had a guy talk for 20 minutes about penises. We found out it's not good to run Ethernet out to the parking lot. And we had a gnome with a sword pick up some ass Play-Doh.
And these people all paid $200 cash at the door to see it. All right, so
this is, I call that the aristocrats.
Yeah. So no metallic parts, the propellants and everything else are the sorts of things that you could, I didn't have enough time to go into all the details, but you could very likely get through. And model rockets, if you pack them with gunpowder,
Rich,
do things like
Rich,
explode.
I'd like you to go home without an anal exam that you didn't intend.
So we took that. We actually got a whole launch system with no metal parts in it. We went ahead and we put a gunpowder payload in there. And decided to go ahead and launch it out of our bag. I live in Arizona, so that's not only legal but encouraged, especially if you point it south. And here's the one where it blows up. So the problem is we launched into the sun, but you get to see a little bit there. The rocket exploded. It completely obliterated all the pieces. Now this, look, guys, this isn't exactly realistic, but I like to blow shit up and thought it would be fun. And there's another last view of the rocket launching, and you can kind of see the puff up at the top where the payload goes.
Tell us more about your payload there.
When I mentioned that I was doing some project with explosives, Nikita, who runs, is the only one of the only 2 paid staff members of DEF CON and runs all the speaker stuff, said, seriously, no fucking pyrotechnics on stage at DEF CON. I already told one speaker no.
I will give you $1.
Double it. 2, 3.
If you put that up your ass and hit the button.
Fearless.
Do you, Rich Mogul, have hemorrhoids right now?
What the fuck is he doing now?
Fireworks.
Is he doing all the right stuff?
Okay, you got to put the safety pin in. 3, 2, 1.
Are you really doing this?
You know, just you know, this panel was so bad for a minute there, I really thought you were going to set off a rocket.
Were you worried or hopeful?
I was a little excited, a little trembly.
Yeah, so that's it for the slides, folks. Thank you.
It's coming, Rich.
So, I don't know who's next, but I have to wash my hands.
Rich, it doesn't matter how hard you scrub, the feeling won't come off.
Would you mind using the gloves to close your laptop and remove it? Because you touched it.
I don't know who that is.
The way this is going, I'm just leaving gloves up here on the podium.
Well then.
I would like to point out just for one moment that as much as my compatriots up here on stage take this Misogyny Network stuff seriously, I am the only one wearing a skirt.
And a thong.
The more money you put in this bowl and or the waistband of my kilt. Oh, crap. the better you will be doing for the world and for our environment. I promise to keep some of my clothes on.
There's not room.
You know what? That's something in my favor, I think. All right. Whoa, we can feed HD to the monitors here? Cool. I did not plan for that.
Thank God.
That's not right. Why are you booing me? What have I done to harm you? Yeah, that's wrong. Anybody know how to fix that?
1024 by 768.
Yeah, it's the that I have to find the monitor panel finger.
Was anybody else going to chug syrup, or was that just me?
Yeah, it's dead now.
The rest of us are smart enough to say no.
I didn't realize it was an option.
You know, every now and then, I did, actually. So I'm going to reboot my computer. In the meantime,
take it off.
My eyes are burning.
You guys should know better than to suggest things. I might actually do them. I'm just going to prepare for my talk silently. So you guys know that we're collecting donations here for a couple of good charities. Can anybody name the charities?
Fuck cancer.
Yeah, you know, none of you can get the stuff in the same order, so what you hear is that there's four charities. I was going to talk about this for a bit during the time when I'm actually supposed to be talking, so I'll talk about it now instead. So that cancer thing really sucks, huh? Has anybody not had someone contract cancer in their lives? Why the frack did that just reboot? Oh, sorry. Has anybody been untouched by cancer in their lives?
Give yeah.
We have one hand?
Yep. Gentleman in the hat right there.
Wait, where? Yeah, you got. You are a lucky, lucky man, sir. The rest of us, not so much. We're out of time.
We have to get Dave on as well. So.
Yeah. Okay. Does your computer work, Dave?
Yeah, I got a thumb drive.
So we go to Dave in the back here?
Yeah.
Dave, you're up.
Oh, hi.
We're going to switch to Dave for a second. Yeah.
This is what happens when I get close to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where's the fucking thing? Yep. Run you first.
So I love following the cancer speech. Everything I say now just seems douchey. And I'm going to blame it on that because it wouldn't have sounded douchey before. So I have attention deficit disorder. It's,
really?
Yes, it's a horrible thing. I sometimes will start a sentence and forget what...
So Dave, how many guys with adults with adult ADD does it take to change the light bulb? Hey, let's go ride bikes.
Okay.
If he takes longer than me, then you know it's definitely not my fault.
All right, so the point is I have attention deficit disorder and I drink a lot. So I'm a perfect wife or a husband for somebody. Apparently I can be a wife too. All right, whatever. I don't have one of those great slides that tells you who I am. I'm going to work on that for next year. So, I am easily amused. So I was at one of my favorite bars one day, and I saw this. Everybody's seen this. It's like a Windows error display on something where you don't think it runs Windows. It turns out this was a jukebox. And I walked by and went, well, hey, that's pretty cool. My jukebox runs Windows. That's pretty neat. What else does it do, right? Oh my God, I can play songs on the jukebox from my phone?
Nice.
Yes, you can. It's called Barlink. That sure was neat. Back to my beer. Requisite woman with an assault weapon and me in a bar. Wait a minute. Wait, hold on. And this is actually in real time how it happened. Wait a minute. That sure does seem like a lot of work they did to make it able to play music from a phone in this one bar. I wonder how many other bars or locations. How does song submission work? HTTP. Be gone, evil temptress with beer and guns. There's hacking to do. I'd like to say I actually said that. So I jailbroke an iPhone. I cracked the app. If you've seen any of my other talks, this is easy. If you haven't, just imagine in your head I'm doing something magical and wizardry like right now.
Like leaving it in a cab?
Yes. I disassembled the app. And I started sniffing it, and oh my God, sure enough, this application that will cue music on a jukebox goes over the network. It goes to a very specific place over HTTPS, and it uses a method called login in the application initially. But what it really wants you to do is tie your location, and it will find jukeboxes around you and say, hey, you can play at this jukebox because you're within 150 meters of it, right? So I then looked for a couple of more strings that actually helped the application use the iOS interface to find out how far you were away from everything. I found out very quickly that I could make it so that I was within 100 meters of every jukebox in their network. So I have an iPod right here. Well, that was step three. Step one, I was going to collect underpants. Step two, hack all the jukeboxes. That's what was left out of software. So this is actually a screenshot earlier of this iPod up in my room. You can see I'm here in Vegas, right? But the application It thinks I'm in Atlanta. I could, but why would you do that? When you can play at Umbop places.
We got step two covered for you.
Is there a
new Assurance underwear for men? You may have seen the commercial.
I have seen the commercial.
Put them on.
All right.
Please.
Let me.
Money.
Let me call. Let me call somebody real quick. So we're going to. Basically, yes. So this application basically lets you play music on any of their jukeboxes. It authenticates you, and then when you request that a song be played, you have to specify a location ID. There's nothing stopping you once you've authenticated from just submitting the song ID and every location ID. So I thought it would be really funny to make Hanson popular again. So what I'm doing right now is actually playing Hanson on every jukebox in their network. I'm going to need you to quiet down for a second because we're going to call a bar and ask them why they're playing Hanson.
This is why we wanted Dave to go last, is because we all suck.
But Jamie,
can you follow that up with Rick rolling their bar?
I can, but that just doesn't seem very original anymore. All right, hold on one second. Hold on, quiet now.
Put it on speaker.
You're on AT&T, aren't you?
Why are you guys playing Hanson?
Sorry?
Why are you playing Hanson? Thank you. So I do this quite frequently. I have a cron job scheduled. I have a cron job scheduled to pick a day of the week, or pick an hour of the day and a minute, and randomly play Hanson. I then found out that the statistics that they're using those jukeboxes actually affect things. Like, people look at it and see what's popular now. So my goal for next year is to have Hanson as number one selling artist in the United States again. I'm done. Fuck you all. Oh, one more thing. If you look at this app really closely, it allows you to upload your own songs.
Dave, where can we get a copy of this application?
The Mac App Store.
You can get it at the App Store, actually. AMI's bar link.
The unhacked one is.
I made it turn blue.
You're pregnant.
How appropriate for Misogyny Networks.
I sure hope you're not asking for any maternity time off.
Last waffle order, so get your waffle order in.
There's room for more money in the bucket.
Yeah. Absolutely, more
Canada,
money in the bucket.
You're off.
There's still room.
Thank you, Dan.
Go. I'm going. So she
said. Is Marcia from the EFF or anyone else from the EFF in the room, please? Bueller?
I'm from the EFF.
Bullpucky.
Farg. Keep talking.
I'd like to point out I'm sober.
So I'd like to encourage everybody, Jamie, when he finishes getting his slides on, if it's before 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. this evening, that's Hacker Pyramid.
Where's my freaking mic?
The number of people on the stage and number of people in the audience will be on hacker pyramid tonight. We'll also be raising more money. And at some point, there's a special fail waffle iron that somebody made for us. It's really, really cool. And
I did
it's
it.
Not here.
You are truly a hacker, sir.
You, sir, win one internet.
Exactly. So I have to go really fast because apparently I only have like 4 minutes to do this. So keep.
That's the best you can do?
This is a
come on, really?
Brief travelogue of fail. So last we met, I was wearing a shirt. After DEF CON last year, I went home and we moved within 2 weeks of finishing DEF CON. I would strongly recommend that you do not do that. I also discovered that I hated my job. This was my standing desk in my cubicle. They couldn't order the right size standing desk. Apparently, I'm the tallest person in the corporation. But Solaris 7 manuals. I finally found a use for Solaris 7 in my daily life. Also,
somewhere Scott McKinley Neely is very happy.
Yes. You're taking up my time, sir. Winter. I was starting to get sad, and cancer was starting to affect more and more people in my life. There are entirely too many people who are dealing with it, and I hate to say this, but it's criminal the number of people who are dealing with it quietly without anyone knowing. So I will tell you this right now. You know someone who is dealing with cancer by themselves. This is not cool. Go to hackcancer.com and learn. What you do when you get sad is you go on vacation. So I went to Disney World with my family. Thought I was having a heart attack. Rich and I are brothers in heart attacks at this point. I got a cool new job in the Bay Area. That's great, except but there's this thing called the North American Free Trade Agreement that's supposed to allow labor mobility for professionals. So I applied, and I got a work permit. I was happy. But
first time for everything.
It expires. So you have to reapply. And I was denied.
Come down to Phoenix. We'll take care of you.
What the hell does that mean, Rich?
Arizona's all about the immigrant law stuff. So there's this thing called a management consultant, and it says that you need to either have a bachelor degree or have 5 years of experience in a specialty related to the consulting engagement. I have more than 5 years experience at this shit. In fact, I have a lot when you look at it, the full-blown version. I even am accredited.
I can't believe you admitted that.
And certifiable.
But your government, those of you who are American in the audience, says that I need to be a computer systems analyst if I want to do what I do for a living because I use computers and I'm an analyst. Their suggestion was that I go to a community college and get a 2-year diploma.
But wait. Haven't you seen what happens there? All kinds of wacky adventures.
Like DEF CON.
Right.
Except that would still only qualify me as a computer systems analyst. Because that's what Homeland Security has decided. It's interesting, though. They can't seem to get their story straight, whether they want people who know their stuff or not. Because they're going to build a major cyber army in the next 2 years. And I'm married to an American. I mean, how harmless can I be? I only live in Canada for one reason.
Marijuana.
And frankly, my home office is equivalent to a cubicle. Whether I'm working in my home office in Canada or I'm working in a cubicle in Santa Clara, I get paid the same amount of money. There's a lot of cyber generals, cyber senators, and cyber congressmen who, yes, there is the one cyber warrior, I forgot. There seems to be a lot of this sort of cyber infection. And again, remember, I met my wife on IRC, and yes. I've only got 3 slides left. I wish that I was a cyber warrior. Many people dress up like this on the weekend and be cyber warriors. I just want to be a helpful soul and work on this stuff. So I'm going to keep trying, and we'll see you next year. We'll learn what happened. If you want to follow this amazing story, join us on Twitter, where you'll see me yell about crap. And I did it.